two things I never thought I'd hear at the same time. Here aboard the Enterprise.
Dude, what do you think they do in engineering when it's like a diplomatic mission? O'Brien, we need more nugs up here.
Roger that, I'm beaming them to engineering.
Man, the plasma converter, man. I just had my phase modulated.
No!
Oh, everyone's getting court-martialed.
Yeah, because Picard sits in his ready room just spying on everybody, remember?
Yeah.
God, that program that Geordi made, that's just... yakety sacks while you watch Captain Picard get beaten. Meanwhile, the real Picard's in 10 forward painting a picture of a horse playing a saxophone.
God, that's deep.
That's why Data had to kill everybody and destroy it. Then destroy the Enterprise and himself. So, how much do you know about Vikings?
I know a little bit. I know they look really badass.
That they do. Have you heard of berserkers?
Only in the video game realm. I don't really know about real berserkers. I've heard it mentioned, I think, but I don't know anything beyond that.
Well, the main thing is they never wore any armor. Mm-hmm. They'd usually take two weapons into combat, or a pole arm.
Mm-hmm. Some huge.
Something big, or something fast. And one of the reasons they were brave enough to go into battle not wearing any armor is because they believed they had the protection of the gods, because they had been consuming Amanita muscaria mushrooms beforehand.
Awesome. And I'm sure the berserkers were feared.
Oh, yeah. And part of it would be, like, if you're wearing a bunch of heavy armor and this guy has nothing on him, he's going to be a lot faster than you. And he's just going to run up and, like, poke you in the neck bone, and you'll just bleed out right there.
Right through breaking your armor.
Yeah. Armor mostly defends against, like, a broadsword, like a slow chopping blade.
Mm. Not so much, like, arrows and things like that.
Arrows would bounce off the plate stuff, but ringmail doesn't protect very well against arrows now.
Yeah.
That's one of the reasons they'd use those big shields. Like the Greeks had big round ones, and the Romans had tower shields.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
So they could form the phalanx.
Mm. The Spartans. They had the round ones.
God. Do you see that movie 300?
Mm-hmm. No, I actually kind of liked
it. I liked it the first time, but then I started analyzing it, and I'm like, why are they dressed like they're going to a gay disco? Like...
The diverse,
especially Xerxes, king of the Persians.
Yeah, okay, I see that. But, you know, we were just talking about those berserkers, and they didn't have any armor. So the Spartans were, Spartan?
Well, they did have armor at Thermopylae, for sure.
Oh.
But in that movie, they had to show off their rippling abs and thighs, I suppose.
Yeah.
Anyway, the berserkers are running around, kicking ass, pile mushrooms. And I've been reading this book that is supposing that the Abrahamic religions, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam, have a root belief system that is essentially a fertility cult. And that one of the major tenets of this religion is to consume mushrooms, namely Amanita muscaria.
Cool. No, that's the mushroom in Mario, right?
Yeah, the one of the red cap with all the white spots.
Hmm.
And Well, shit, before we go to Mesopotamia, we should stay in the Norse lands for a minute. Have you ever heard of a Yule log?
Yeah.
Well, Yule is the Viking winter holiday associated with New Year's. Hmm. Also associated with a symbol of a bright shining star in the sky. Does that sound familiar?
Yeah, I do.
And one of the things they do is put up pine trees.
Hmm.
Or, well, more anciently, they would go scavenge for Amanita muscaria mushrooms because they tend to fruit in late autumn and early winter.
And the Christmas trees. The Christmas trees fruit them.
Yeah, they grow on the roots of fir trees.
Hmm.
Like the Doug fir.
So that's why Christmas trees are never in the ground when I go to buy them.
Because they're high on mushrooms.
No, they don't want us to be on it.
They don't want... Yeah, they're saving the roots.
Yeah, where are those roots at?
But the mushrooms, they start out as just a little red sort of package-looking thing.
Mm-hmm.
And they have no white spots. A package under the tree.
Mm-hmm.
And they grow into a more stereotypical mushroom shape, which is also associated with the phallus. That'll be important later. So they find a ripe one, and they pick it, and you can just eat them, but they're better if you dry them. We know this from experience. And one way to dry them is to tack them onto the tree, like an ornament.
Nice.
Christmas. And let them dry in the sun.
Christmas is crazy.
Yeah. And another way to preserve them is to tack them above the hearth, like a stocking. And they're kind of stocking shaped, red with white trim.
Wow. These similarities are very coincidental.
Yeah, and part of the mythology of the ancient Viking Yule is that the god Balder, which is replaced with Jesus in our mythology, is reborn then.
Hmm. Weird.
Also, one of the gods, Yngvi, I think, is associated with having a wagon with him, or a sleigh.
Hmm.
And he always, part of the holiday is that at the end of it, he takes off in it into the sea. Or back to the North Pole. One of the Norse worlds is at the North Pole, supposedly, too. Or in their, you know, in their belief system, they have the world tree.
Hmm.
And there's, like, Midgard, which is us, and Asgard, and a bunch of other stuff.
Hmm.
So, yeah, Santa Claus is God.
Whoa.
No. I don't know, maybe. Then he's associated with St. Nicholas, who was a real person who did some nice things.
Maybe Jesus is Santa Claus's son.
According to this book that I'm reading, the mushroom and... or the sacred mushroom and the cross, Jesus is actually a translation or a mistranslation of Dionysus, the Greek god of wine, and like the whole thesis is that it's a fertility cult, essentially, and that the story in this theory, the story of Jesus, the majority of the parables of the New Testament, while perhaps depicting events that happened, the figure of Jesus is telling you that there's something there about the whole fertility rituals that they're encoding.
Hmm.
I haven't got very far, but
it sounds interesting. What was the name of that book?
the sacred mushroom and the cross. And if you go back really far, like pre-Judaism, pre-Old Testament, the god that's associated with Yahweh is a Canaanite god associated with fertility.
A whole lot of fertility going on.
Yeah, well, it's all coming back to, like,
the mushroom looking phallic. You know,
there's that, there's, like, the rain falling from heaven being, like, semen, I guess. Although, I mean, think about it in with a caveman brain. What do you have to compare it against? What do you have to make analogies with? You got fingers and toes, you got your genitals, you've got your butthole.
Yeah.
I mean, there's not much else. You might associate the ocean with blood or tears or spit. Yeah. Held the Mayan calendar is base 20 because you have 10 fingers and 10 toes.
And it was so beautiful.
Yep, until I crushed them. Stubbed my toe. Now I can only count to 19.
Shit. So, the end of the 13th Bakhtun is soon.
Yeah, it is.
Well, it's actually, by the time this is out, it'll be past it.
Well, we'll know if we survived December 21st. Mm-hmm. But supposedly the 13th Bakhtun starts December 21st, 2012. Exactly.
I thought it ended on that. And then the 14th one. Or
no, we're in the 12th one.
We're in the 12th?
Yeah.
Oh. Oops.
I've been seeing a lot of stuff lately where people just have the numbers wrong. Like, what else is wrong about this? It's five sets of numbers separated by dots.
Mm-hmm.
And each one is one of the wheels, so each one goes to a certain number. The first one's... Oh, it's so weird. I was reading about it. There's 20 days of the week... and 20 numbers, and they are going, or is it 13 numbers?
Well,
or 20 numbers and 13 days of the week? Or no, there's 20 days of the week. I'm sorry, I'm babbling. Anyway, it's like set wheels that are slightly, they have different numbers of settings.
Kind of like Morse code. It's like a dot with, and then a dot with a line.
That's how they're written. Yeah, a line means five, and a dot means one.
Mm. Okay.
And a shell symbol means zero. Looks like a coffee bean. But the way they have their days of the week and their numbers, it's such that they don't repeat until the month is done. The closest thing you can make an analogy to a month to in this is done. So, it'd be like, you have the first Monday of the month, or you have one Monday. Next week would be two Monday.
Yeah.
But when it gets to 20 Monday, it goes over and the ones, it would be one Tuesday.
Interesting.
So that no two combinations of numbers and days of the week ever repeat in the month.
Yeah.
Although I guess we kind of have that with our numbering system. Just getting there in a less clever way.
Technology.
Let me pull up the diagram of it so I can be clear. So there's 13 weekdays and 20 days in the month. And then the bigger one is the astronomers took over and are like, okay, we're going to do it so it fits the sky. And that's the great cycle.
Now, is that a Bakhtin or is that something else? The solar year.
The solar year is the Hob calendar. That's the great... Fuck.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure that is the great calendar. But...
Tune is like a ba is like a prefix, and tune would be days, I guess. So 13 Bakhtin is 52,000 tune.
Whoa, that's a lot of tune.
Which works out to 144,000 weeks.
No, our weeks or Mayan weeks?
Our weeks. Okay, a tune is about a year. And the long count is 5,200 tune. 5,125 years. That's the part we're about to roll over.
And so the astronomical clock is the one we're talking about now, right? Where the astronomers kind of took over. And
yeah, the great year. The other two are associated with, like, fingers and toes, and they get the number 13 from the number of joints in the body.
Whoa.
Like, if you think of your shoulders and your elbows and all that shit. And, the number of months, the 260 days, that's how long it takes to gestate a fetus and bear it. So they're all very terrestrial measurements.
Yeah, they're pretty clever people.
Then the astronomical one is to fit a solar cycle. So 360 days.
Which is like the zodiac signs and things like that, right?
Yeah. The Hob actually went to 365, but 360 is a tune. Or about 1 year. So it's sort of like the Julian calendar. But they did have a kind of leap year. They would add it as a week. Or, well, it would be a whole month, but it would be about the length of a week, one of our weeks. And it was, like, a very dangerous time where they believed the gods were resting and, like, the dead controlled the happenings on Earth and, you know, rituals would be performed.
Yeah, yeah.
Then the gods would come back, hopefully.
Yeah, because each day was kind of like a zodiac reading, you know.
Yeah, it's all broken down into concentric cycles. Let's see here. Yeah. The current cycle started August 31st, 3113 BC,
which is well before when the Mayans started living.
Yeah, but they were thinking ahead. They wanted to record lots of history. And they had a pretty complex language with which to do it. Mm-hmm. And mathematics system.
Yeah.
And we know from the ruins that they were at least observing the heavens. We don't know how closely. But there is... Isn't it a Mayan inscription with the astronaut? Or the apparent astronaut?
I think it is. Yeah, the guy sitting in his throne.
Yeah, and it's like shooting up towards the heavens or something.
He's like leaning, like it's almost like he's like sitting and like looking up.
Yeah, isn't he like looking into a scope of some kind?
Yeah, and he's got like this little tube coming out his nose, and he's got like a little microphone on his next to his mouth, and like you can see his hands on like kind of like steering wheel type things, like handlebars, and then like almost like a gear shift.
Shit.
Where his foot is, it's and then it kind of looks like there's fire underneath him too.
That's so weird.
Yeah.
There could be a practical explanation, but that's still pretty out there. It's kind of like the Baghdad Battery.
Yeah.
Somebody was fucking around with shit way back in the day.
Yeah. I don't know. I think it's silly to put past cultures at a more technically advanced point than us, or for us to put more faith in our technology than theirs.
I think the only difference really would be is that we can communicate our technology all over the world immediately. And, like, if you think about it, a group of people not unlike the Manhattan Project guys who were building a nuclear bomb, you know, just a group of smart people.
Mm-hmm.
What could they build?
What could they accomplish if they had hung out more and more and more?
We dug up that royal we, that Greek mechanical clock.
Oh, yeah.
You seen that?
Yeah, all the gears inside.
Yeah, and supposedly that was a tool to figure out when the Olympics should be. That's
Whoa.
The best explanation I've heard so far. But, I mean, say it is. If you're building that complex a machine for something that's... Okay, maybe it has a religious significance, kind of, but not any more so, really, than the Olympics does today.
Yeah. Oh, whoopity-doo, gladiators on a global scale.
Like, something, yeah, so a game.
Mm-hmm.
A game of gears, not thrones. Mm-hmm. And you hear references to Atlantean technology. Occasionally, or, well, we've assigned it as Atlantean.
Yeah. I like to think of Atlantis as a secondary name for Earth. You know, because, I mean, every culture has a different name for it.
Or Earth. Yeah, true. And a lot of them have, like, an ancient, or ancient ones, or the gods, or whoever, doing things that look like technology that we've used.
Yeah, and, like, every single old culture that's all gone now, for the most part, they all have, like, stories of an advanced culture that lived before they did. Kind of like how we're talking about the Mayans, they're talking about people who lived in Atlantis.
One thing that I read today when I was reading about the Vikings is Baldur, the one who's reborn in Yule,
mm-hmm.
he gets killed and they put him on a ship, on his ship, supposedly the grandest of them all, and it's just called the Viking equivalent of the ship with a circle on its stem. Like, I immediately started thinking of Stargate because I like to think like that, but
like, yeah.
If you weren't familiar with Anglo culture, you know, Americans, UK, the English speaking world, and you read Flying Saucer, would you know what the fuck they're talking about?
Like, absolutely not.
Could that not be the Viking equivalent of spaceship, or...
Yeah, with a little dot on the side.
And they talk about having a... They couldn't get it to move. And they have to call one of the gods down to move it for them. And when the god moves it, it's on rollers, right? So they can push it into the sea. It moves with such velocity that the timbers it was going to roll on burst into flames. Or the rocket engine started and went...
It's all right there in front of us. We just gotta think about it without this stupid public schooling thinking.
Like the social studies shit that makes light of slavery and doesn't include scientific advances after 1970. I think I did read a social studies book when I was in school that said, soon we'll be going to the moon. Or some bullshit like that.
No.
It was replaced pretty quickly, but...
soon we will venture to the moon, where we will do experiments, and eventually we'll have big domes where people can live.
Oh, one other thing about the Norse, and I brought up Mesopotamia. Before the Trojan War, the pre-Hellenistic period is called, I think, right? Because it's Helen of Troy.
Mm-hmm.
Troy was known about pretty far and wide, and they sent out some expeditions, and one of them was like led by a prince sort of guy named Tror, and he set out to lead an expedition into the north, and in Old Norse his name would be pronounced Thor.
Interesting.
And he was fair-haired and fair-skinned like Thor, who was fair-haired and fair-skinned compared to the stock around, the breeding stock around there. Lots of, you know, brunettes, brown eyes.
Yeah.
Like, if greater than a... we lost the Enterprise!
Oh, no. What happened? It's actually kind of startling.
Ugh.
Oh, man, I feel
okay,
better.
What was I talking about? Okay, yeah. So this guy, Tror of Troy...
Wait, just a second.
No!
Okay, I feel better now.
I'll buy that for a dollar!
So I guess the theory is Tror of Troy goes into the Norse worlds before they're very much organized and probably lays waste to a lot of shit and acts like a real boss. But lays down the foundations of this culture. And there's also several references that might indicate that the giants that the gods always fought were like Far Eastern people, Asians or Russians. And keep in mind that back in the day, Russians were pretty much Asian. There was a lot of I think they controlled all the way through Russia. The Vikings actually invaded Moscow, and they dragged their boats over land to the rivers, put them down, hopped in.
So badass.
That, yeah, they were fucking gangsters. Fuck.
See, that's what sports teams should be about. You can drag this huge boat across this land.
Yeah, man, we should...
boat dragging contest? That'd be way more entertaining than football, I think.
See, like, imagine a sport where they drop tribes of people on a planet, and they just, like, spy on them and film them, like, the domestic shit. That would have tons of reality show content, and when they fought each other, that'd have all the sport, the blood sport in this case.
Oh, wow. Everything we want. Right there. And one action-packed little planet.
And then we just watch these people who volunteer to live.
It's like
colony style.
It's like the Truman Show, only not quite. Was it Jim Carrey?
He didn't know what's up, though.
Yeah, right? That's why it's not quite that. But, you know, like, if I wandered down into those, the little plots of people, little villages that have never seen a plane or whatever. Well, I probably see planes all the time now.
Oh, yeah, that happened in that M. Night Shyamalan movie.
village.
Yeah, I was just thinking about going down there and, you know, playing Thor for a little while.
Yeah.
And then leave.
Well,
and then
you'd think, like, after a few generations of people
talking
there,
about this crazy pale person that came down and, like, did something.
Well, I mean, just,
them.
Like, before you do that shit, I bet they would regress from people who know what's up to people who barely think outside their planet, if only because of survival.
Yeah.
Like, the children of these weirdos that volunteer to go fight each other on a planet somewhere.
It'd be us. Volunteer. You know, that might have very well have been what happened with humans. What we just said, what you said, that might be what happened, why we're here.
So I'm channeling the ancient knowledge, somewhat like Arthur Dent.
Sure. You know, a bunch of aliens plopped us down here, and they're sitting up in their spaceships
watching
us. Yeah,
they fucked some monkeys and made a bunch of people that would fight each other for their entertainment.
Yeah, and that we're just one huge reality show to them. What if we're on a huge alien movie studio?
Well, why wouldn't it be a planet? I mean, there's only 100 billion billion of them in this galaxy alone.
We do have our own solar system.
Yeah.
So far, and that we know of.
Well, something that I noticed today that kind of weirds me out, but maybe there's a logical reason for it, is the wobble in the Earth's axis. It takes 26,000 years to go around. I think I said 12,500 on a previous episode. But that's also the same amount of time, approximately, to orbit the galaxy.
I thought it took a lot longer to go. Like, you're talking about the arm that we're in swirling around the center?
Like around. A galactic. Right. Maybe I fucked up. Hang on. Better check.
Standard here.
Oh, wait, I fucked up. Okay. The estimated distance to the center of the galaxy is 26,000 light years. That's where I was getting the years from.
That's still a long ass way away.
But that matches the precession of Earth almost precisely. I find very strange when there's planets as random as Uranus. Not that one.
Not that one, that one. One over there.
This one?
1-7-3-4-6-7-3-2-1-4-7-6 Charlie 3-2-7-8-9-7-7-7-6-4-3-Tango-7-3-2-Victor-7-3-1-1-7-8-8-8-7-3-2-4-7-6-7-8-9-7-6-4-3-7-6
That was not the right one.
Anyway.
The galactic year, it takes, like, 250 million Earth years.
Better, yeah. What do you know about the, was it you that said something to me about the in 6 years, we will not have a solar eclipse because the moon will be slightly farther away, so it'll be smaller than the sun, instead of right now how it's perfectly the same size to just
cap it. I don't think I said anything about 6 years. Yeah. I don't remember if I said anything about the moon.
Some guy said that to me sometime within the past couple weeks. I thought it was kind of interesting that, you know, I've never actually been able to see a full eclipse.
I've only seen the lunar ones.
Yeah. Lunar eclipse is kind of cool.
I saw the transit of Venus. Yeah. That was a while ago. Yeah.
Well, it seems like every time there's something cool happening with the sun, Spokane has a cloudy-ass day.
Fuck yeah, it does. It'll
be clear skies up until that one moment where I really want to look at the sun. Damn it. Mushrooms and Christmas.
Yes. What about them?
It played a major role in developing a holiday, apparently.
Yeah. I guess the idea is that in the proper preparation, that's how you commune with God. in these belief systems, and we've completely lost that over the years.
Psychedelic experiences, man.
Yeah.
They are pretty, they can be really spiritual or batshit crazy.
Most people who've had them would agree that a lot of people would benefit from them. Not everybody, but if you're approximately normal, you know, if you have a history of schizophrenia in your family, you probably shouldn't do anything like that.
Yeah, yeah.
But you should probably be in some kind of treatment anyway, just in case.
Know your family's history.
Yeah. I think I'm cool with the brain. I'm just gonna have my colon rot out when I'm 50.
Nah, I'm probably gonna have my heart explode or something like that.
Cancer or something. If I'm facing, like, a colostomy bag in 40 years, I'll volunteer for RoboCop.
Oh, that'd be sweet.
Yeah, it's like...
I'd do that.
He doesn't poop, does he?
Hell no, he don't poop. He just takes that pace.
That's his superpower.
He doesn't poop.
Who the hell are you? Tastes like baby food.
Yeah.
That guy... Okay, there's one part when RoboCop first turns on, and that black dude turns to him and he's like, "Go Robo!"
Oh, yeah,
and
yeah,
I just,
yeah, yeah.
I just fucking, "Go Robo!"
Yeah,
go, reminds me sort of Matt Damon.
I think that's one of the New Year's Eve parties happening at the station.
Oh,
wherever
God.
He is.
In some lab. So he's just laying there for who knows how long. Apparently months and months.
Yeah, I think it was about a year, maybe two.
Do you think when he's off, he's dead? Or he's asleep?
Well, according to the video, it's like nothing. He doesn't have any idea what's happening because this video monitor clicks on and off. And all of a sudden, it's like he gets turned on and it's like, oh, wait. Then there's a party happening and then he gets clicked off and then he gets clicked back on and he's about to be unveiled. And
but once he's out in the fields, they never try to turn him off.
Nah.
Not even Dick Jones.
Well, he has that really bad dream that one time.
Yeah, so do you think he takes over? Like, do you think your brain would get better at using your cyborg body so that you could sort of hack it?
Well, I think immediately after he had his bad dream, he jumps up and goes and grabs an electrical fuse box.
No, no, man, that's in the second one. That's when he has, or I think it's the second.
Yeah.
No, the third. No,
it's the second. Yeah.
Second.
What's bugging you, Murph? Kern's bugging me.
But he has the virus, right? That gives him a whole bunch of weird directives.
Well, there's the fourth directive that.
That's in the first one.
Yeah, he can't hurt he can't hurt an employee or a CEO for
OCP.
OCP, yeah.
But they never get rid of that.
Yeah.
They get around it by firing Dick Jones.
Yeah, so he's still... Yeah. You're
but
fired.
Then, in the second... It's in the second one where he grabs the thing to reset himself, because they show for a few minutes his new directive set, and it's, like, filling his whole screen, and it's, like...
All choppy.
Be sure not to eat too much candy. Like, brush your teeth three times a day. All this weird PSA bullshit.
Well, it was, like, after his first breakdown, or, like... No, it was the Kane's gang, like, captures him and breaks him apart, and then OCP, because he's OCP property, upgrades his firmware, and then he's
there's somebody on the inside that's like, "Oh, get that robot."
Yeah, and then, like, they just fill him up with a bunch of shit, because everyone's like, "I don't like how he goes into the neighborhood shooting his big gun off." You know, he's a robot, and he, like, I think he never misses.
Oh,
but
so they Microsoft him.
Yeah,
I'm here to help you with your consciousness. It looks like you're composing a suicide note.
Fucking shitty little paperclip.
No.
So Vikings, about as badass as RoboCop.
Yeah.
We should call this episode Vikings equals RoboCop.
Oh, I like it.
I heard something kind of crazy the other day. It was actually the video that Trevor recommended. I'd already seen it, but I forgot most of it. So you know how like the black holes, they shoot off, they do their injections.
Was this the 2012 prediction
or something like
or
that.
Equation solved or whatever?
Yeah, some of the crop circles. The wave of energy coming from the center of the black hole, or the galaxy, which is the black hole, is like turning a bunch of the middle-aged stars into red giants.
That's a little weird.
Well, we know how long the sun's been burning. We know how, apparently we do, or we think we do. And through the size and mass, and you know, you can factor in how long it's going to burn. But if it gets hit with this wave of, you know, 20 million degrees Celsius, I think is what they said.
That's odd. And so it's radiation?
Probably. That's what's on space. But I like to think that, you know, how we have a magnetic sphere protecting us from the sun, the sun's got some sort of weird magnetic sphere protecting us from the center of the galaxy.
Yeah, Voyager 1 is almost through now.
Yeah.
It entered a new phase recently.
I think Suspicious Observer said something about that today.
Yeah, it's called the Magnetic Highway.
Oh, yeah.
The field is such that low-energy particles from our sun can escape into interstellar space, and high-energy particles from interstellar space can easily make their way in.
Hmm.
Which is very weird. That's like an energy exchange. Wouldn't that mean that... now I'm thinking, like, okay... we know that life doesn't need light as its energy source. What if you had some weird shit way off in the heliosheath that's like, you know, maybe just a lichen on an asteroid somewhere, but like existing off this magnetic flux?
This is feeding off the universe.
All it takes is a little hot part. A little volcanism.
Some sort of a warm area. But even cold, I mean, things can exist in the cold. Some super cold shit.
True. The theories about life on Titan, it would be existing at like negative 200 Celsius, negative 150 Celsius.
God, that's fucking cold.
You get too much colder and you're looking at absolute zero.
Wouldn't be able to exist with like water in your body. You'd have to have something else.
Yeah, they think it would be methane in that situation, which would be liquid, sort of like be like living in one of those gas cylinders.
But you know, if life evolves there, you know, it'd be okay because it evolved there. It's used to that sort of shit. It wants to be there. It's like the demon planet in Star Trek Voyager.
Oh yeah, class.
X, I think.
X?
Yeah.
Really?
It's the most inhospitable planet that we know of.
So, I think if you were a life form that was used to extreme cold, you would be better off for exploring space.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Because everywhere you go is going to probably be...
going to be real cold.
It's the majority of space is probably really cold.
Like, if they built some kind of... probe, they could, it would be like cooling it or heating. Well, they'd have to super cool it in the daytime, but they could just like put salt water instead of some weird coolant.
Yeah.
Although they kind of are a coolant, like ethanol and methane and all that, they can be used as a coolant.
Yeah,
because it acquires energy so readily. So, you're talking about the supermassive black hole.
Mm-hmm.
And, black holes do lose energy, but it's in gravitational waves. And it's one of the few naturally occurring instances of gravitational waves.
No, I thought, like, we've seen black holes with those two jets coming out the top of the bottom, as opposed to, like, the disk of the galaxy.
The disk around it is the accretion disk, and that's only visible because it's being energized enough to glow in certain... Well, sometimes there's stars falling in and stuff, but it's... The rotation of the black hole is energizing it, so it starts to glow. The jets are FM band electromagnetic radiation.
Whoa.
So that must mean that either some of the matter in the course of falling in is, like, slingshotted out, and since it's been exposed to such high gravity, it's been crushed into little bits so that only photons could escape, or, well, FM photons.
Well, I was kind of thinking it was like a, kind of like a CME, but for a black hole.
Yeah.
You know, it shoots off a wave, and sometimes our magnetic sphere, our shields need to take that kind of hit. Anyway, I think that, you know, it's definitely possible, I would imagine, because there are a lot more red giants closer to the center of our Milky Way than there are out where we are, or we think we are.
According to Wikipedia, the relativistic jets are caused by dynamic interactions within the accretion disk. So the matter that's falling in is being knocked about in such a way that it can emit energy along the polar axis.
So kind of what you said?
Kind of, yeah. Pretty much. One thing is that since it's rotating along one axis and not the other, it shoots out the polar axis because there's a slightly lesser energy requirement.
Well, and, you know, like, it's like water will flow towards the easiest point it can.
Right. And it's kind of like we were talking about in a previous episode, the moons of Uranus and how they wouldn't be stable at certain degrees from the ecliptic.
Because of the way it's tilted.
Right. It's sort of like that, but on a quantum level instead of moons floating around.
Yeah.
So, some of the matter is converted to energy and pushed away from the black hole. But anything that falls in becomes part of the black hole's system. And the only way energy is lost from that system is through a gravitational wave. And that would work, like, we're in a gravitational field. And you've seen, like, a topographical map.
Yeah.
Or a map of a magnetic field. Imagine if you had a wave sweep through that and, like, push those lines apart or push them closer together in some areas. Basically changing the force of gravity or making it non-constant in a solar system.
Whoa. As far as magneticness, but, like, gravity...
And since it's gravity going out, my intuition is to say it would be almost like anti-gravity. It would be pushing. So you're talking about stars going to red giants. What if you had a force pass through the star and push everything? Just for a little bit. That is enough to shut down the fusion or slow down the fusion engine. Or create strange states such that, say, a few heavier elements are formed at the core of the star.
Interesting.
That would affect its ability to fuse, and it's going to go back together as best it can. But there's explosive power in that.
Yeah, this ball of gravity and energy and fire and helium.
But even if there were a few atoms of, say, iron, or it'd probably be like an more exotic element, like uranium or plutonium or something.
Mithril.
That's what they should call one of the heavier ones that they keep inventing. Why don't we go through that?
Let's just make it. Come on, we have the technology.
That'd just represent like a little core of atoms that would eventually cluster at the center due to the density of things settling out.
Mm-hmm.
And they would just be like a stop to the fusion, because it's not going to be able to push into a nucleus that's more than, that we know, it's more than carbon. So more than six atoms deep, or six, protons plus neutrons.
Yes.
Point is, it takes more force to fuse heavier atoms than it does lighter atoms, like hydrogen and helium.
Mm-hmm.
And a red giant is fusing helium, typically. But there is helium in the star right now.
Mm-hmm.
That's been converted from hydrogen
to helium, which is not enough.
So if this wave disrupted the hydrogen fusion, it might leave intact the ability to fuse helium, or create the moment of force to start fusing helium, in which case you have a higher energy reaction taking place, and it would kind of take over.
Well, I think what he was saying is just that whatever is coming is supposed to be, like, hot, and it's like, oh my god.
Oh, god.
It's like throwing, whoa.
We're popular.
You're popular.
It's my alarm.
No!
I knew I forgot to shut something off.
Yeah. But it's supposed to,
like, flash nuke the sun and basically just use up a lot of the material that it uses now in its normal state, and that's supposed to, like, accelerate it into its natural process of turning into a red giant. And apparently there's more red giants towards the center of a galaxy than there are towards the exterior.
That would make sense because of density, the same way that there's denser metals in the core of the Earth than at the outer edge of the mantle.
That's way true.
Eventually, because it's all soupy. We're not fixed in our position in the galaxy.
It is still pretty soupy.
So, let's stay with the gravity wave and say it was emitted from the core. That's 26,000 light years away, give or take. What do you think it could... I mean, if there's a wave coming at us, stuff could be riding that wave. Matter, energy.
Whatever it's come in contact with and can kind of carry it through. Well, like, what's our perception of the universe? Like,
-5%?
What we can actually see?
We can see a pretty good chunk.
Well, with technology, but us as humans, with our regular senses, like, we're pretty much blind.
Well, okay, say you're looking at one star in the sky, and say you draw a square around it in your perception that's about an inch, if you're, like, holding your arm out at arm's length.
Mm-hmm.
There's several billion galaxies in that.
That's a lot of crap.
And the deeper you peer into the field, the more there seem to be. Like, there's definitely aliens. Okay, there's so many that there might be aliens that are exactly identical to us, down to what they're doing right now.
Multiverse.
Yeah. What if that is, like, is there a model of the universe you could draw where each galaxy is kind of a mini universe? Like, could we peer deep enough into the field of the sky to look into a parallel dimension?
Whoa. And then you're peering into this dimension, and then you see yourself from that dimension peering back at you, and you're like,
except what the one of you over there is wearing a cowboy hat. and has a goatee.
And that's it.
That's the only difference.
The evil universe.
Cowboy. Well, that's the only visible difference. It's probably something horrible, like the men carry the babies. And when you give birth, your penis just splits like a banana.
And it's a one-time deal.
Well, for that part...
You grow a new one.
I mean, you could still have intercourse, but, like, you got sort of a windsock going. A windsock that grows into a kite.
It's two scrotums.
I'm simply saying that life, finds a way.
So, I'm getting to the end of my rope here. Fuck.
Yeah. I don't know. The universe is a crazy place. Humans have been crazy. Humans are crazy. We'll probably continue to be crazy. The universe is so big, there's probably aliens. And once again, humanity is usually wrong.
And by doing psychedelic mushrooms, we can be less wrong. Maybe.
Well, you know, it's like, what was it back in the day? It's like, here, eat this root, it'll make you feel better. And then, you know, a couple thousand years pass, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, no, don't eat that root. Drink this potion. Well, it turns out the potion was like snake venom. Or snake oil, or something weird like that.
Hey, man.
And then all of a sudden it's
try this herbs. Drug made out of fermented corn that makes you more aggressive and less willing to look at what's going on around you. Oh, and it halves your life. Which is great, man.
Side effects may include death.
I like some liquor, but... It's just, too bad for you. Especially compared to marijuana. Mm-hmm. And then, like, drugs like shrooms, you do them and you don't want to do them again for a long time.
But they are pretty cool.
They are cool.
They're definitely something the adventurous mind might enjoy.
Oh, to connect up the Vikings to our space talk, at Ragnarok, the heavens split and millions of ships full of fire descend on us, and the gods have to come back and help us fight them. But they are talking about aliens, right? Right.
I don't understand when we heard this, who, like,
just like
it, yeah, aliens,
hubris,
it's
of ancient peoples being like, yeah. Well, nothing could be greater than a wooden ship with linen sails. Or silk if you're from the Far East.
Spice.
Yeah, they should have used the spice to fold space. But I don't know. The aliens could be from anywhere. If they harnessed the Higgs field, they could go a light year or a billion light years with equal difficulty.
But mythology and things like that, I think we've interpreted it very, very, very poorly.
I can understand a lot of the skeptical one interpretations, but some of them are just... Well, some of them outright lose information because they're, you know, chronicled by a Christian who's studying the savage pagans or something.
How many things have been rewritten and written again?
And even then, we probably wouldn't understand Chinese metaphors from right now. There's a bunch that sound weird. Confucius say, man with hand in pocket feel cocky all day.
baseball all wrong. Man with four balls, no walk.
I should do some much on that.
Sorry. How about a song for this week?
Any ideas?
Immigrant Song by Led Zeppelin. It's about Vikings.
I like it.
One thing I want to remember to mention this time, if you hear this and you have questions or comments or want to tell us how stupid we are, you can dispatch an email to cryptodome@4040ad.com. Anything else, Sam? I also want to say I hate it when there's relativistic jets shooting out my black hole.
Oh, God, me too. But, I hope everyone's still, stocking up on things to not need to rely on other people for. Like food, things like that. Bandages, and batteries, and things.
Batteries, lighters, arrows.
Seeds.
Yeah, seeds are important.
Ammunition. Not gold.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm really hungry, and I got a bunch of gold. Will you sell some food to me? No, I'm hungry too. Fuck off.
I've been synthesizing that with nuclear fusion for decades.
Gold. What's up with the government buying 40 gallons of gold paint, I heard from the Hyper Report. That's pretty
well,
gnarly shit.
To paint tungsten bars with? I don't know. We'll address those.
Oh, I got one more thing. Sorry. 9/11. The owner of the World Trade Center took out an insurance policy against terrorism with planes like 6 months before it happened. He put down like $250,000 to start. He got like $6 billion. Plus his initial like $25,000 back because they felt sorry for the bum. It's not. It's shit. Disgusting. It's absolutely disgusting.
That sounds like a little bit of fraud, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know. Apparently our next episode will be conspiratorial.
I like it.